This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Cohen.
I'm Madeline Brand. Sure, there are other TV shows that ended this year.
Veronica Mars, The King of Queens.
But let's face it, Sunday night's finale of The Sopranos, well, it's truly the end of something special.
Madeline, 7 years of our lives over in a mere 60 minutes.
I know. I'm mourning. Well, in a moment, we're going to speculate on exactly how it's going to end with an expert on the real mob.
But if you've never seen an episode of The Sopranos, if you don't get what all the fuss is about, our Mike Pesca wants to help you see the light.
It's not that The Sopranos isn't a show about murder. We've seen scenes like this one. Bring back the second. To the tune of 49 characters killed on screen over 85 near hours of TV. That body count doesn't even include a racehorse and a Maltese named Cosette. But the show's genius goes far beyond the schemes or the double crosses. Just as every medical drama comes back to a theme about healing, there is an undercurrent to The Sopranos, and that undercurrent is rot. American institutions, family, the legal system, the media, the church, they're picked up, examined, and flung aside. It's all done expertly, set in a world made real through the little details of modernity. Take Carmelo Soprano, the mob boss's wife. We've seen this archetype before, but never in such depth that we got to know her taste in the stars of romantic comedies.
Just last week, I told you I'm not a big Renee Zellweger fan.
Then, a few years later, she apparently backtracks on that very pronouncement.
I went to Blockbuster today to rent Cinderella Man, and guess what?
She's still a classic.
On The Sopranos, it's so hard for the characters to connect, and when there seems to be that moment of communication, things almost immediately veer off into emotional rampages or confusion. Let's take one scene, a small gem. Here Bobby, Tony's underling, chats up his boss over steaks in a diner.
I really went downhill after the World Trade Center.
Post 9/11, this was the sort of admission heard in North Jersey a million times, but on episodic television, almost never. Back to Bobby in the diner.
You know, Quasimodo predicted all this.
Who did what?
All these problems, the Middle East, the end of the world.
Nostradamus. Quasimodo's the hunchback of Notre Dame.
Oh, right. Notre Dame's.
Nostradamus and Notre Dame. It's two different things completely.
This was kind of a symphony of inarticulateness. It was funny on the surface, it developed character, and it even added to the tension, because now it seemed as if Tony Soprano was entrusting his life to a hulking dullard. Who knows how many viewers care about the subtleties? Many probably just want to see if Tony lives or dies. Either way, come Sunday night, 11 million or so Americans will want to know that AJ and Meadows still have a father, no matter how corpulent, murderous, and self-deluded Tony Soprano really is.
NPR's Mike Pesca reminding us why we love The Sopranos. So what's in store for Tony? Will rival mob boss Phil Leotardo do him in? Will anyone survive Sunday night?
We're going to turn now to Jerry Capizzi. He's an expert on real organized crime and in a strange life imitating art, imitating life, whatever moment. He appeared as himself on the show this season. I heard that they shot multiple endings for the finale.
I have heard the same thing. My view is that Tony Soprano and Agent Harris are going to ride off in the sunset together.
That's the FBI guy?
Yes, and he's going to become a rat in the parlance that the mafia likes to use, a turncoat or cooperator in the verbiage that the good guys, the feds, want to use, and give up whatever he can give up about what's left of the New York and New Jersey mob on the show. I mean, he's got nothing left. I mean, even the shrink rejected him last week. I mean, she kicked him out of the office. All his guys are dead. You know, everybody has turned against him. I think, you know, what I would do if I were writing the script to make it happen is I would have either Carmella or Meadow or even AJ, you know, clipped by a mistake that would send Tony over the edge.
Jerry, is there a real-life parallel to your knowledge to Tony Soprano? Is there someone that reminds you of him?
Well, he's got the brassy, in-your-face attitude that, you know, John Gotti displayed. You know, he's got the physical appearance of Joe Messina, the guy who did become a rat. Not in recent years has anyone been visiting a shrink, but even there, back in the 50s, Frank Costello, the prime minister of organized crime in New York, the boss of the Genovese crime family, spent a couple of years talking to a shrink. So there are a lot of things that happen in real life that The Sopranos grabs onto. Just last week, you had Phil Leotardo talking about the Jersey crew as a minor league outfit. They don't even prick the finger during the ceremony. That's based on fact. I've written columns about it as well. John Gotti was angry at the boss of the New Jersey family for not living up to the traditions during inductions. They made them re-induct all members of the New Jersey family, I think for the 20 or 22 years previously, who hadn't been inducted the proper way.
Okay, you talk to real-life wise guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do they think about it? How do they think the show's going to end?
Well, I think they feel that Tony will get whacked, and he should get whacked for some of the crazy things he's done, seeing a shrink. Once he dies, you can't have a sequel, you can't have a follow-up, you can't do it again.
But here's the problem with that, Jerry, is he's already been shot twice.
That's why I think he's not going to get whacked. It's too obvious. There's only four ways a mafia boss ends his reign. One, he gets killed. Another one, he becomes a cooperator. The other three, he goes to prison and spends the rest of his life in jail. I don't think that's the way it's going to happen. Or four, he retires. There's no way Tony Soprano can retire to Florida.
Given your scenario that he becomes part of the witness protection program,
okay,
where would he go? What would he do? How would he live his life?
He would have to spend a long time in prison, like Joe Mazzino is doing right now, the Bonanno boss who's been cooperating for a couple of years. And then when he serves his time, he would go off somewhere in America and live next to John Q. Public or Jane Q. Public with a new identity. Maybe a little bit of plastic surgery. Maybe he'll grow a little hair. He'll get hair plugs to make the hair, to have a full
lose
head of
hair.
Lose a little weight. That's one of the things that we've noticed over the last 7 years is not only have Meadow and AJ gotten older, but some of the characters, Tony, have gotten a little heavier. They've gotten a little grayer. They've lost a little hair, like I guess all of us have.
Speak for yourself. Jerry Capizzi, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure, Matt.
Mafia expert Jerry Capizzi runs ganglandnews.com. How would you end the show? Let an experienced TV producer be your guide. On our website, npr.org, you'll find my conversation with Darren Star. He created HBO's Sex and the City.